You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to my couch today. You know, we have a great show as always. And I'll tell you what, on many of my shows, I talk about one particular subject, whatever it may be that we focus on. We also talk about issues and have a lot of authors, specialists, etc. come on and share their knowledge with us. But today, my special guest, who has been helping people for years and years and has created some amazing books, his name is Foss Ruggiero. You know that guy, right? You've heard of him. He's going to help you with various types of issues, whether it's managing your life, anxiety, depression, anger. And of course, we're talking about his latest book on addiction. Just came out today on Amazon. Boy, I'm so pleased to be able to have this special day with him. Or just fixing your life in general. And you can also email me live here on the show, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have any questions for Faust, let's go for it. Whatever it might be, we can put it out there. So let's bring him on the couch right now. Foss, thank you so much for being here on my couch with me. This is so cool.
It is. And it's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, well, you're the best. And you've been working so much, especially lately. You finished your book finally, which is, you know, you've got the formula. You've got the formula for everything down. But the latest book that just came out today, on Amazon and everywhere in the whole world, it is the Fix Yourself Addiction book.
Fix Your Addiction Handbook.
Oh, Fix Your Addiction. And these are not just handbooks. We're going to talk about all your handbooks. These are huge books. But I like the idea of handbook, right? Because they're user friendly.
Well, that's what they are. You know, they want to give you a short version of the information, not a real long one. Give you action steps. You know how when we counsel people, we want to say, okay, we're giving you this information. Now you need to do these things. And you know, that's not their self-help. I've always thought that was a problem. And then it should be a reference book. Just like, you know, later on down the road, they say, gee, it's 6 months since I stopped counseling. This came up. Can I call my psychologist? Can I go in? You know, that's what the book should be, something they can go back to. So, you know, it just makes sense.
Yes, exactly. Well, here's the thing, and your books are putting us out of business, okay? So
I don't think we're getting there. Just a joke.
Because let me just share some of the information if people don't already know about you, because, I mean, you've been in media, done hundreds of interviews, of course, hosted your own show and authored, and I know your professional career spans over 40 years. What? What were you, 12 when you started?
I came right out of the chute, you know.
You're looking good, man. 40 years of diversified, cutting-edge counseling programs. He's a published research author, clinical trainer, therapist with experience in clinical prisons, nursing homes, substance abuse centers, inpatient facilities, and major corporations. We're talking national and international. He served as the president of the Community Psychological Center in Bangor, Pennsylvania, where he developed the Process Way of Life. All right. This is the counseling program, and it's been rigorously researched and tested. We'll be talking about that. Also, his famous book, and he has other famous books that have followed. We're going to be talking about the Fix Yourself Handbook. Yes, the one that is putting all the therapists out of business. I'll stop. I'm sorry. Faust, I'll stop. We'll also touch on some of the most helpful concepts in your other books, which are the Fix Empowerment series. All right, we have Fix Your Anxiety, Fix Your Depression Handbook, Bringing You Out of the Darkness and Into a Brilliant New World, Fix Your Anger Handbook. Oh, helping bring peace and sanity into a turbulent world. And of course, the book that just came out today, Fix Your Addiction Handbook, bringing you out of a life of weakness and dependence and into a world of freedom and sanity. And that book is available as of today on Amazon. and you can find it. And what is the best way? Let's just jump into this, but we want people to focus on the interview. What is the best way people can find out more about you and what you do, Faust?
I would just,
and you'll find everything there. All the books are there, but excerpts from the books are there. Media things that we're doing today, they're all there. Our contact link, you know, I'm one of those people that does get back to people when they email me. So
very cool.
You need something, by all means.
I love that.
Send me an email. I will respond.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I know you have thousands of emails and inquiries about your work, but I mean, I know you do take time and are most helpful to so many people. So let's jump into it. I mean, there's so much to cover, and I don't want to slam everyone with everything here, but we'll just go general for now. So how would you describe the process way of life and sort of the general concepts of how it can help people?
You know, Michelle, when I started counseling, you know, it just like, you know, how we come out of graduate school and we say, we've got all these, you know, educational tools, and then you start working with people and you say, okay, I need to put this aside. Maybe that doesn't apply. And then we start to look at what does work.
Right.
And not that I cast the education aside. I still rely heavily on that, of course.
Well, we're not in the real world, right? I mean, it's weird, right? We're thrust into these clinics when we're doing our hours, right? Our internships, residencies, and all that. And we're, wait a minute, this is...
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but...
So now we're doing it. I'm saying, you know, I'm kind of seeing that there's a lot of things people aren't using. The tools are right there.
Right.
Processes. I'm thinking things like honesty and learning how to use gratitude and humility, how to communicate properly, how not to be people pleasing and following the crowd and learning how to put your intellect before your emotions, not instead of, just before, those types of things. So I teach those processes to people. We define them and I say, this is how you do this. This is how you're going to reduce those emotions. Get your mind working first. So, you know, when you do emote, you're emoting in a healthy fashion based on facts, based on real things that are happening. So it's just, you know, there are 52 processes, and not that you have to learn all of them. Different processes apply to different people and in different levels of intensity. So we just decide which ones apply and then how we're going to apply those. And that's all I'm doing with the book and all the chapters. That there is a processes to employ a piece right before the chapter starts, and it tells people what processes we're going to be using in that chapter. That's all.
Very cool. You're very humble. And we'll be talking about some of those processes as well. Just for today, I mean, of course, we know what's been going on in the world and politically and all that. It's been really crazy, sort of, and sort of dealing with that. I know you have in your work. A lot of people are, you know, having a rough time right now and or are celebrating whatever the outcome of, you know, their desires were in the election and also everything going on in the world. There's so much concern also about crime where we live and just fear of survival many times. What are some of the most difficult issues that you see people dealing with today?
Anger is the big one that I'm seeing.
Wow. Okay.
And people are just so emotional. When we start talking about social media and the ability to react and formulate something and hit submit really quick, doesn't get, you know, we're not taking the time to take a step back, you know, and let's look at this and how I'm going to process it. You know, when the election came through and people would come in, I'd say, what are you reacting to?
Right. Right.
Well, this, you know, he's this and she's this. And I said, let's stop. Where did you get that information? What's the source?
Yes.
Well, everyone knows that's not a source.
Right.
Or you read it on that report. You saw the news, or this group is saying this. You know, are you getting factual information? Slow down and let's tear it apart. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. The country is going to go on like it typically does, and you'll decide how you can fit into that.
Right. 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 Exactly. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, you know, Faust, about the anger. And this is what has fueled a lot of know, people calling me and working with me. A lot more people reached out this past week and said, oh, I really need to talk about what's going on and how I'm going to live my life. But I think, as you said, you know, it, we all learn how to function and focus, and we all have our stages of going through whatever the processes are, as you call it, fact finding, you know, understanding and trying to fix the formula. And you know, then, yeah, go ahead.
What I tell people, you know, when they come with the election stuff, and I say, you know, if you're really healthy, you're not overreacting, you're not making yourself really get to the point that you feel neurotic over this, what else is going on?
Right.
You know, because that's what this really did. It just kind of pulls the scab off, you
sure
will. Now we start bleeding and all about all different other things, but we're focusing it on one place. And I'm telling people, if you focus on this election and you're really, you know, losing control, you're trying to fix something that did not cause your problem. It won't happen. Right. We need to go find out why you're reacting.
Right.
That's what we, why are you a reactive person? That's what we need to do. The rest of it's here for 4 years or whatever it's going to be, you know, there are tons of realities in the world, things that you're going to have to deal with. You know, the pandemic was one. I said, some of us sat back and said, okay, this is what's going on. I have to look at what's happening, make some intelligent decisions. Other people lost control. I said, well, you know, if we're going to be strong on the inside, which is what we try to teach people, then all these events come along and you're already strong. But if you're coming in, if they're coming into weak points, it's going to exploit those points. It's just what's going
on. Yeah. No, that makes so much sense. And I love, you know, your concept, some of the processes, and we can talk about those as well. And they're, you know, given in many of your books on helping with anxiety and depression and anger and everything. And of course, Addiction, the new book we'll talk about that's come out today as well. But I love the concept too of I over E that you present, that you just shared, intellect over emotion. It's like, wait a minute, I get you're upset. I get you're frustrated, and in life with everything. Maybe it's a work environment you're not happy with now that many of us are back in the workplace. Maybe it's your partner, which we'll talk about as well. Maybe it's just issues with life in general, stressors, finances. But you really emphasize I over E. And so that is basically, let's take a look at what it is. Let's think of what it is and not just react, right? So that's a healthy thing to do, as opposed to, you say, reacting. But so what's the difference between, it's really healthy to express your fears and anger and react, as opposed to, well, let's take a look at this. Let's be more intellectual.
You know, I when I teach this concept, I talk about energy management. And what I'm telling people is, little, you know, and it's interesting how many people have never thought about this. Right. Emotions and intellect, our ability to think and to react emotionally, are all lodged in our brain. They're thinking about the brain for the thought and the heart for the emotion. And I'm saying, please, the heart's a pump. That's what it may neurologically react to, you know, when we get into different types of emotions. That's fine, but it's where you supply your energy first. That's the key. And you know as well as I do, the first 3, 4, 5 seconds, someone hears something, and that initial decision to do something, that dictates how you're going to follow through. All I'm saying is, catch your breath a minute, take a step back and say, okay, what do I want to do here? Now your brain is already engaged. And your next step is, let me get the facts. Let me not react. Even in my own home, we have a rule. It's no conclusions, only information.
Oh, I like that.
As you know, the information always takes you to a conclusion. But it's one that is healthier and typically is correct. But when you're reacting quick, you just didn't give your brain enough time to look at facts and look at information. You're not asking questions. You're not saying, well, okay, that seems to make sense, but let me play devil's advocate here a little bit.
Right.
You know, and people say, well, you know, it takes a lot of time to do that. And I say, well, I'd rather invest 2 or 3 minutes up front.
Right.
Then go back and have to play fix it, which can take hours, or and maybe you're repairing some things that you did on the back end of things. So that's what this is all about. Where do you want to supply your energy first?
That
usually tells you what you're going to do. It gives you, at least it gives you your next move.
Right. And that's the slow and steady process that you really help us focus on as well. And it is. It's just the autonomic nervous system, or don't start reacting to fight or flight. You know, it's just an immediate, I guess, fear-based reaction to whatever other people are taking in or we're taking in. And just nice to just kind of think about it a little bit. A little I over E right now. Let's just do that. So I think that's intellectual emotion. It's sort of, and it's not disregarding the fact that you have true feelings about certain things or people or anxiety or depression about, that's called a normal human reaction, but not projecting it immediately onto others, perhaps using that intellect to think about.
You know, one of the ways I help people understand this, I'll say is when you react fast and you're getting so emotional, if I stop you and say, what are you feeling beside anger? What and why are you feeling it? You're going to not give me a real good answer. But if you thought about it and you got the facts, you still retain the right to say, well, that's going to make me angry. I'm still angry about it.
Right.
But you have information, not only more information about where that situation came from, you also have information about why you are reacting. And that's the key to this.
Yes.
I want to get to know me. I want to know, when these things happen, why do I do this? And if I'm willing to give myself a little bit of time while I'm actually in it, now I'm getting information. That's just so invaluable. It doesn't solve it at the moment, but it gives you a ton of information to work with. That's what we want.
And in terms of great advice, really great, Foss. What are some of the most common issues you see, besides, you know, people just sort of blurting out and not thinking about issues that you see with couples that are going on right now, or relationship issues primarily with partners?
Communication is always the big one. We know that people don't spend time listening. You know, it's hear something, load. It's here, then it's make your comment. The person says something, reload. Before they're done talking, you are now thinking about your next response.
Yes.
I think honesty goes into that. Honesty has become a protective device for us. When it should be an ally that, you know, helps us to really work with information in realistic terms. You know, in the first book, I kind of relate it to an onion. You know, you take the paper off the onion, it doesn't seem to do anything. Mm-hmm. Now you go one level deeper and you start to smell it. You get two or three levels deep and your eyes water and it's uncomfortable. Well, that's where true honesty is. If you're going to be honest with yourself, there's nothing to protect. Who's going to hurt you? You just want to go, I want to get the accurate information about me, the situation, and my interaction with that situation. I want to be completely, brutally honest about it. And when people learn that, when they understand the concept, they don't fear communication anymore.
Right. Oh, that's really beautifully said. And that the thing too, you know, about listening, we get into these habits sometimes of tuning out. It's called selective listening, or, you know, and that's the whole thing. And it's also helpful for kids and adults who have ADD, you know, it's
very
how to really listen, focus in and breathe. And that's another concept that you know, expresses slowing down, slow down, slow down. And these are practical. These are research tried and true techniques to just slow down and not react so strongly, and listen and observe what's going on. Also the body language thing, you know, we have all that built in, right, in our brains innately to understand what other people are really feeling if we really look at them and understand their eyes and their face and their body language. slow down and observe that as well.
You know, I always look at the other person as a, you know, a gift, another piece of information. I can get information from you if I'm willing to listen. I can get some things that I didn't have before. And that's such an advantage to living our lives, not only in healthy fashion, but yeah. Being opportunistic. You're going to get information. But if I decided to tune you out,
yes,
and now all I want is information that is supportive of my contention, of my conclusion, well, all I did is I formulated a conclusion, which is probably emotionally based. It satisfies me in some way. And now I'm trying to convince myself and you that this is the right way to go. So when you see it, you say, I'm not so sure about that. And now I'm in protect mode.
Right.
And now I have to continue to push my agenda. Well, there, and people are calling that communication. It's anything but. The communication stopped when I decided that I was right and I need to convince you that my point was correct. It's not a debate. I would much rather go back and forth. Even if I don't agree with you, I want to hear, I'm not concerned about your conclusion. I'm concerned about your process. How did you get there? That's right. What I know. And right. If I can understand that, not only does that give me more information about you, it continues to nurture my own willingness to use a process. And and then what I'm doing is healthy and it's correct most of the time.
Well said. And I mean, that's beautiful. In the Fix It Yourself handbook and all the other books that you talk about. Foss Ruggiero, folks, you can find him. And of course, his latest book, Fix Your Addictions, Fix Yourself Addictions, has come out today, on Amazon and everywhere else in the world. You really should check it out, pick it up, because I mean, as I said, this is a wonderful tool to help you. And there are so many different kinds of addictions we're talking about. Everything's not just substances, it's internet addictions, right? Fast.
Yes, it is.
We seem to be a society of addiction. Yeah.
I think we are.
So
you know?
We'll talk about that in just a minute. Yeah. No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I think I was going to say, yeah. I think you're
so,
right. It's just whatever we attach to is what we attach to. Either we're going to be addictive about it or we're not. And learning that about ourselves, that's what I'm trying to get out to people.
No, beautifully said. And excellent book. I'm really looking forward to picking it up today because it will be most helpful to a lot of people I work with who are dealing with all sorts of addictions as well. Any kind, all sorts. And I think to some extent, most all of us have become addicted to our devices because, you know, we learn more, we communicate better, et cetera, et cetera. But there is a stopping point to all that to really understand that, okay, what could I be doing instead of sort of wasting time on a lot of these social media sites or a lot of the, I need the information, I'm going to get the information. And I'm going to put it down, put the device down, and, right? And you have a lot of tips on that in your book as well.
Right.
How to take care of yourself and think about your addiction and why you're doing it and all that. So we talked about relationships and how to really go about healthier communication and listening. And those are all really important factors in helping out all of us. Not only in our relationships, but in our own minds. And a lot of it is sort of self-talk or self-thought in your processes. You encourage people to really look forward to have your eyes on the prize of what you want and in defining honestly what you want and what you need and what you need to take care of in your life. You're also talking about closure on the past. This is one of the most common things that I see, and I'd love your comments on these, because in dealing with our anxiety, depression, anger, all that, it's so triggered by our past subconsciously that we're not even thinking about it. And that goes back to your point of reacting without really being more intellectual or thinking. So what are some of the ways that we can have some closure on our past so we're not bringing in all that old junk and projecting it onto other people?
You know, the brain's a funny thing. It's constantly learning, and it looks for ways to apply information in a way that somehow is going to support whatever we're doing. Unfortunately, it's not always doing it in healthy fashion. You know, if we're people that are defensive and angry and look for ways to rationalize through situations, the brain will help us do that. And one of the best ways it does is to go back into whatever's in the past, could be our childhood, or it could be, you know, that thing you did to me last week, whatever. We go back and get that, and we provide what we believe are rational reasons for us to continue doing what we're doing. But what we're doing is causing us pain. And I talk about undercurrents, you know, these past events are always an undercurrent. It's always just below the surface, and we can access it anytime we want to, consciously or unconsciously. We just do it. So, you know, the first thing I do with people is let's go back and start defining. Tell me what hurts. Tell me, you know, what you think never really got to the point that you put some closure on it, that you think still bothers you today, whether it's the actual event or you think it, you know, when things happen, you may go back and grab that kind of anger. Because sometimes it's the event, sometimes it's the anger it produces, and you go back and get the anger, realize it's tied to something else. So let's talk about your anger. Let's talk about how you're expressing that. Let's see if we can see where it came from. That's not going to solve everything, but I guarantee you it will grab a big chunk of it. And when we get there, not only will you be happier, you have more knowledge about yourself, not only in terms of what was back there, but in terms of the way, the process, if you will, that you use to go back and get it. Because not all processes are positive. We have a lot of negative things that we do. So what are you accessing? Why are you doing it? And how are you using it?
That's huge. Exactly. And hanging on to it. And you know, you talk about cleaning house.
Yes, you would. Exactly what it is.
You know, taking an honest review. And this, I love that. I love your idea. And I'm just reading Understanding and Mastering the Art of Positive Information Exchange in the Communication When You're Cleaning House, the Honest Way of One's Life and those relationships in it. So can you define that a little bit more, sort of cleaning the house, alternate and or related terms, which are life inventory, eliminating toxic people? Yikes, housekeeping, gatekeeping. What are some of those concepts and how can
it? You know, that occurs, Michelle, on two levels. The first one is initially, you know, we're stuck in whatever we feel is so negative. So when people come to counseling and they say, well, let's move on to this, I say, well, let's pull back. Our first step, is always the purge.
Right.
What do you mean by that? Well, I mean that we're going to go find all the negatives. Let's go find what's not working in your life. And we need to get those things out of your life. No, a simple example, you come in and say, I've got all this anxiety and I see that you're fidgeting. And I notice that what you brought in was stopped that wherever and got the big cup of coffee. And I say, when you talk about accelerants, what are you putting in your body every day? And then they say, well, no, I stop having caffeine by 2 o'clock. I said, you didn't tell me anything. How much? And then it's 4 or 5 cups, and maybe they had a soda in there, which is packed with sugar and caffeine. And then some of them are doing energy drinks. I said, I can have the perfect life and do what you do every day. I'd be anxious, and I probably wouldn't sleep at night. So we want to see, you know. And then they have to get honest with that, because you know, when I say, you know, anytime it's something we really like, we kind of underreport, you know, that we don't want. We don't want to give it all up. So, you know, when we're house cleaning, we have to be honest about what's not working,
right?
And then be willing to take it out. Then we get better. That's the good part, is, oh, wow, my life is so much better. And then we stop working so hard. And we stay, you know, and the gatekeeping goes down, and in comes the toxic stuff, people, places, things, whatever. And now we have to house clean again. And now we're angry because we said, I fixed this already.
Right, right.
And why do I have to do it again? And I said, well, you know, that's why life is dynamic. It goes on every day and you attend to yourself every day. My feeling is you should feel you're worthy of that. You should love yourself enough to say the thing I'm going to do most often every day is me.
Right.
I'm going to look at me. You know, when I got to the point that I started using honesty 30 years ago, I mean, what I'm talking about, honesty, it was so freeing. You know, someone would come and say, well, you did this. And instead of saying, I did not, I said, let me look at that. Ooh, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I realized that was great. I just did something that was really good. It felt good. And I don't have to get into a battle with you.
Yes.
Not only that, I get to change it.
Yes.
So that I don't have anyone else coming back and saying, well, you did that. And then I hear it 2 or 3 or 4 times and it's all gone.
Oh my goodness. And
I know that. And once I do that, I'm not in the battle anymore. Guess what? I have more time for positive things because I'm not stuck in this little battle I just conjured up.
Right. And beautifully said. But, you know, that urge to defend ourselves comes from way back. Way back. I'm not a bad girl. I love it when I have couples interacting and I just sort of get a vibe for what's going on. And someone says, you know, the thing that bothers me or makes me feel hurt is when you blah, 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 and you don't listen or you do this or you jump to another or whatever you do. And the other person says, and they defend themselves. I am not. Or instead of saying, huh, let me take a look at that. You know, you're right. And that's part of the even individual fix it yourself therapy you're talking about is take a look at some of the things that the consensus of a lot of folks say you do and own it, right? You don't have to defend it.
You don't. You know, and you can take a situation like that where they're saying, well, you did this and it hurt me or made me feel this way. And if I say, well, okay, I'm not sure how I did that, but can you explain more? A number of things happen. The first thing is they just realize I'm listening to them. I'm not negating them. So I am validating the fact that they have a feeling, which is huge in this, because I actually bring them down emotionally just a bit. Now we're both tuned in and then I get information. I don't just get the, you do this. That's kind of the conclusion. Give me the information. Show me. I'm not looking for exact things that you probably don't have those right away, but give me some information about, you know, what you're feeling. Give me some information about how you got there. What did I do to get you there? So I understand it. That's what I want to understand where you're coming from.
Yes. God, it's beautifully said. And it's just a being aware of a lot of those old triggers and just maybe I'll. Yeah, you're right. I do that. Own it. I do that. And how can I fix it? Nobody can really fix it for you, right? Foss, you have to go within and follow some of the processes that you are talking about in your Fix It Yourself handbook and the Fix It Yourself anxiety and depression and anger and the new one out, of course, fixing your addictions. So,
you know, it's interesting, Michelle, when we have that nice communication system, things change. If couples already have that dynamic where they, you know, they're a little defensive, the person bringing something up is usually just a little too strong because they're anticipating the defensive move on
right.
The other person's. So they come out a little strong. Well, that's heard. And no, I can't deal with that. That was way too strong. And then they go back. And so then the person that brought it up says, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. And they're ready with the next move. And we have all these moves back and forth. You know, if someone says to me, you do this. I say, okay, maybe I do. I don't know. Give me more information because I really don't understand what you're saying. But I'm absolutely willing to hear what you got. That changes the dynamic. First of all, I didn't say I didn't do it. That's the first rule for me. I'm not going to say, no, I don't, because in my mind, what if they're right? I don't want to walk away, I always say like a defensive fool here. I don't want to do that. So okay, maybe I do. There's a possibility. I'm not perfect. Maybe I do. So, but that, give me more information. Tell me about what you're saying that I do, so I understand it. Because I, if that in fact is the case, I don't want to repeat it.
Sure. Boy, is that strong too. I mean, that's called a very high functioning behavior, you know, because again, it goes a lot of times with couples where the one who is saying you hurt me, or when you do this, or it bothered me, the other person said, well, I guess I'm a bad person. You're right. I'm an a-hole.
And that's what happens. So angry surrender. Okay, fine. I'm no good. I'm out of here. You know,
right.
I can't beat you, so I'll beat you this. I'll beat you by surrendering and walking away. Now I win. You know, and the games we play. And I just, you know, I try to work as much humility as I can, and also, you know, check the ego at the door. I mean, what in the world am I defending? You're not going to hurt me, even if you say I did this and I do this often, and I say, oh, you're right. I didn't lose any ground here. I gained ground because I didn't put myself in a position to be arguing something that's absolutely wrong. I don't want to. You know, so exactly. So I really put myself in a position to win by admitting that I was wrong.
Right.
You know? And it works. And I don't. I people get caught up in the ego, and you're not going to beat me. And I say, what is the point? What did you get? And that's where we go back to the past, because somewhere along the line, somebody taught something there, or you yourself are just an angry person, you know, and that, but there's always a reason. And so I go back, those are all the little tip offs.
Right.
And when you're doing that, why? Mm-hmm. Why did, and I often say that to my people when I counsel, why did you say that? Well, no, but why did you say it? Because he didn't say it, and you have control over the way you speak. Why did you say it that way?
Right.
So I can get them just look back and say, yeah, that's, well, you know, I should have. Right. And they'll come back, oh, maybe I should have said it this way.
Right.
Should have. Well, then I say, of course, what would have happened if you did? How would you have felt if you brought it out that way? And then we're teaching from communication dynamics that are a little bit different.
Beautiful. Yes. Beautifully said. No, I think such helpful ideas. How, you know, besides when we're in a relationship and in therapy or whatever, and we're working through these things so we can communicate better, how can we communicate with ourselves better and stop beating ourselves up for things that we've done, either in the past and or in the current time, because we've blurted things out that are probably hurtful or inappropriate? How can we stop that inner voice that's always going like, you're not enough, or you're not this, or you should be more successful, or how do we do that?
You touched on one of my favorite subjects, and we talked about linguistics and how we talk to ourselves. The way we talk to ourselves typically, internal representation of how we're going to talk to the rest of the world. Wow. And I'll ask people, you know, what are you thinking about yourself? What are you saying in your mind? Just your thoughts every day. If we could have, you know, the computer that attached to your brain and categorize your thoughts, just simply positive, negative, how much of your day would be positive? How much would be negative? And that takes everybody back a bit. It's the way you talked about yourself.
Sure.
I can't do this. Well, yeah, I probably can. I just have to master a few things. That's a whole different statement.
Yes.
I don't like this. Well, I don't know how I feel about that. Let me look at it. Maybe I will like it. I just keep on. It's again, we're back to energy management. What kind of energy do you want to bring into your world? And it starts with the way you talk to yourself. As simple as that. And it's a hard thing to control, because, you know, the brain learns. And, you know, as you know, learning is just a function of repetition over time. That's really all it is. And I just tell people, keep on doing this. You're going to go negative. As soon as you do, say, nope, stop that. And then replace it with a positive thought. And I will actually get my people to make lists. Don't make them in my office. Go home, make a list of all the positive things in your life, because people will say, don't think that way. But okay, I won't. But now what do I do? So yes. I got to replace the energy.
Yes.
Now make a list of the positive things, things you love to do, things you are doing, people in your life, whatever it may be. Make a list. And when the negative comes in, say, no, I'm not going there, and replace it. That very, the fact that you can help your mind switch changes the way you think to yourself. Ooh. Also, it comes under that heading of being gentle, nice to yourself.
Yes.
If you're bringing negative energy and you're beating yourself up and you don't even realize it, it's exhausting. There was a study that I don't remember where it was, but they looked at people who thought with negative terms and people who thought with positive terms. The people that had positive terms had more energy during the day. The people that were negative were getting exhausted because that negative thought, it creates anxiety, even if you can't feel it. And anxiety eats up energy faster than anything.
Right.
We know that. An hour worth of an anxious
person
will take, it's like 8 hours of hard work. We always say that to people. So all the negativity you put in your mind causes you to feel that way. And then you deliver that to the people around you.
Right.
Of course, now what do? They give it right back.
Sure.
So now we have the whole household, or part of it at least, now expressing themselves in this way. And then, of course, you feel justified. It's the one thing I teach people. There is absolutely no justification for angry thinking. It's, what do I want to do with this? What is my solution? How am I going to fix this? That's what you're dealing with. You want solutions. You want options.
Boy, are you right on that? You know, it's just so important to think about that and go within. And you've mentioned, a lot about energy. You said the word energy like four times in our discussion. So I just want to touch on that a little bit. By the way, Foss Ruggiero is an amazing author, and his latest book out is the Fix It Yourself Handbook on, substance abuse? Wait, addiction.
The Fix Your Addiction Handbook.
Fix Your Addiction Handbook. I don't have my glasses on, so I keep getting closer to that.
Oh, you're not that old. Come on.
Yes, but I can't read. I'm going, how can I reach my readers here? But so that's why I keep sort of dipping in. Sorry about that. But and I'm sorry about getting that right. But I need your corrections. I do. I need your help. But so getting back to the idea of energy, and this is why you've studied so much, and this is why you've been doing this for 40 years plus, is you understand the mechanisms not only of communication and our inner thoughts, and but also that of electromagnetic fields. I'm sure you studied that. And so can you sort of give your take on that? Because I know you've probably read all the information on the Institute of Heart Math and how we have 9 feet, at least 3 meters of energy that has been measured that we put out in here and then to others. And then when we speak it, it makes it even more intense for others, no matter if it's good or bad. But what's your take on all that?
When I teach people about energy, I start really at the bottom. I say, how do you have energy to get through the day? And they'll start thinking about it. I say, well, from eating. I said, yeah, eating turns food into what?
Sure.
Energy in the body. Now, everything we do is based on energy.
Right.
So thought doesn't just occur. It has to have some way where it manifests itself. It travels through the body. That's energy. Okay. And whatever you put into your body, if you put all the wrong foods, that energy was going to create some problems for you. Gut health, brain health, whatever it may be, your weight, the whole thing. If you put negative energy into your mind, you're talking about putting it into your brain. We have to keep in mind that the brain not only controls thinking and intellectual exercise, it also controls what goes on in the body.
Yes. Well,
automatic things, conscious things, it controls everything. So there is that. And I teach a lot about the brain and body relationship.
Yes.
And your body, if it's healthy, feeds your brain, but your brain then controls the way your body works. So that reciprocity is so important. That's all energy.
Yes.
And if you're talking about thinking, the more positive energy you put into your brain, just positive thought is all I'm saying.
Yes.
Your brain feels better. If it feels better, it is healthier. The more healthy your brain is, the more positive energy it supplies the body with, and the body will return the gift and have you thinking with more clarity. And that reciprocity is it's just all energy, and we have control over that. That's the thing people don't believe or don't understand. We do have control over not only what goes in our body, how we think, because that's like food for our brain. It's what goes in our body. Yes. So you have a choice, you know, just like you would say, do I want to go have, you know, that three or four slices of cake and the cookies and soda at night, or do I want to have something that's healthy? My body will feel better if I supply my brain with positive energy.
Yes.
And learn how to rid myself of negative energy, which will invade. It does. And I can do that. My brain gets healthier. My body will feel the effects. I will feel better every day.
Yes. Beautifully said. And thoughts, of course, release chemicals. And it is all scientific, as you said.
Exactly.
And I love the fact that you teach that, because it's something that I think we all have to get and understand in order to manage our lives, and that which we are thinking or feeling within is making us sick. It's not necessarily even what we're putting out there with others and making them sick, unless they have great boundaries.
Exactly.
Right. So anyway, we're going to have to wrap things up here, but I want you all to understand that Phosphogero's professional career has spanned over 40 years in diversified, cutting-edge counseling programs. He's a published author of so many wonderful books that are helpful. You've got to pick up the series if you can. He's worked everywhere and done clinics, prisons, nursing homes, substance abuse centers, inpatient facilities, major corporations. And he's the president of the Community Psychological Center in Bangor, Pennsylvania. And he's developed the Process Way of Life Counseling Program. I just don't have enough to say about all of the wonderful things that you've done to help other people. And I thank you so much, Foss, for being who you are. So again, what's the best way that folks can find out more about you?
Once again, my website, fossrogero.com. Feel free to stop by, see what you like there. There are excerpts from the book. So if you're saying, gee, I'm not sure what these books are like, you can go see. The excerpts are there for all five books.
Right.
And if you want to contact me, by all means, you have a question, whatever you have, by all means, you know, feel free to do that.
That's beautiful. And don't forget, the Fix Your Addiction Handbook is out today. It's available on Amazon, bringing you out of a life of weakness and dependence and into a world of freedom and sanity. Woohoo! That's what we all want. So, Phosphogero, thank you so much for being such a great guest today. I really appreciate all of your knowledge and everything that you have to share with everybody. It's been lovely and not long enough, but that's always the way it is, right? We get into all these cool concepts and it's like, yeah, but.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks again for inviting me on. I think our discussion was just where it needed to be. I hope people can walk away with a few things you know, that might work for them. And if you know, if you need clarification on any, we're both around.
Beautiful. We sure are. And pick it up. Pick up all of his books in the Fix Yourself Empowerment series. It will help you with everything, guys. All right. Have a beautiful day. And thanks again for being here, Foss.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, everybody, as I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. I thank y'all for joining me. Why do I keep saying that? I thank y'all. I've been listening to David Adair too much on his podcast. Thank you all for listening today, and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.